Hello and welcome to the Outlander Sasnack fan podcast. I'm Ajeline.
And I'm Gracie.
And it is just a podcast where we talk about the TV show slash book series of Outlander. And this week we are going back in time for a little bit of a history lesson. And tell us what that is about, Gracie.
Well, today we're going to be doing an outlandish history lesson on the real regulators. Now, the regulators are something that came up in Fiery Cross. One of the major characters, Roger, actually ends up, thanks to being at the wrong place at the wrong time, ends up being, you know, almost killed because he is considered a regulator. So we decided we were actually going to give you, you know, a pretty in-depth look at a war that most people, especially here in the States, oddly enough, know nothing about, because it was also around the same time as the more prominent French and Indian War, which is known everywhere else as the Seven Years' War.
Yeah, it was fought mostly in Europe, but the ending kind of happened in North America, which it actually ended on the Plains of Abraham, which is in Quebec City. And you can go and visit that whenever you go to Quebec City. I went there when I was like a few times. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so America, we like to change names to suit ourselves. So,
of course. Now, very much like the American Revolution, the Regulators War began when people thought that they were being unfairly taxed, having dishonest sheriffs, and extreme legal fees. So, you know, money at the time was especially hard to get in the backwoods of North Carolina, and therefore quite hard for people to pay their taxes to the British government, because, you know, the British government, they love them taxes. So eventually people in the western part of North Carolina, the colony, organized and created the Regulators.
Now, in Fiery Cross, we see several real-life people make their appearance, either by mention or actually in the book, who were, you know, real-life people during that time. One of them was Herman Husband. He was a real guy, one of the leaders of the Regulators Rebellion, even though there was really no true leader of the rebellion. Rather, just a group of men who took on the leading roles. You know, they were just natural. These included William Butler, James Hunter, and Redknapp Howell.
Now, Herman Husband was a Quaker, something that was noted in Fiery Cross, and wanted a peaceful solution to the overtaxation of people living on the western North Carolinian colony. He even circulated pamphlets calling for those peaceful actions against the government. William Butler was actually a tax collector who was key to the rebellion, including the tenement Battle of Alamance. Oh, okay.
Redknapp Howell was considered the poet of the Regulators and was likely the author of many of its advertisements. He was also a satirical songwriter who wrote against abusive authorities. He was one of the first to sign a petition to Governor William Tryon on the grievances of the backwoods farmers who were overtaxed and underpaid. The other guy was James Hunter, who was credited as the general of the Regulators, though he stated that he had never truly wanted a leadership role and that the men were free to choose to fight or not. It wasn't up to him.
Now, the Regulators' rebellion at first was very peaceful. There was petitions being signed and delivered to Governor Tryon. They protested peaceably, and the first record of protesting against taxes being in 1764, before Governor Tryon took over, and the protesting and civil unrest truly began to take over after Governor Tryon built Tryon's Palace, a large home meant to be the state's capital, and his personal residence at the expense of the common taxpayer. So he was kind of a dick.
Kinda. No, he totally was.
Yeah.
Eventually, the protesting became ineffective or ignored, And thus began the actual acts of violence. Prominent public figures like Edmund Fanning, who was considered a corrupt public official, were attacked, their homes were raided, and their goods taken. Fanning was actually attacked and dragged down a flight of stairs. His attackers were making sure that he hit his head on every single step. This is actually something that was mentioned early on in The Fiery Cross when Claire is doing the clinic right before the gathering does all the weddings. And I can't remember the guy's name, but he actually mentions it because he was a supporter of Mr. Fanning. So, yeah.
Do you think he was wearing a helmet?
I don't know. I think he was the one that had, like, the lodged bullet or some shit, and I don't remember. But it actually grew to the point that officials were so scared of being attacked that they wouldn't even hold court unless there was a militia there to protect them. So it was in 1771 that Governor Tryon sent the militia there to Hillsborough, North Carolina, to ensure that they were able to hold court with a militia present.
Now, the regulators petitioned local officials to meet and discuss their grievances and reach a compromise. Their petitions and calls for meetings were ignored, furthering the divide between the regulators and those they considered their oppressors. More small raids and officials having items stolen led to Governor Tryon calling forth a militia, sending it to Hillsborough in order to squash the movement. All of this tension came to a head on May 16th, 1771.
Yes. Governor Tryon ordered that if the regulators did not lay down their arms, they would be fired upon. And to which the regulators responded, "Fire and be damned." So began the Battle of Alamance. It only lasted for about 2 hours and ended with the regulators being pretty much demolished. There's no reliable count of losses, but it was significantly more than the 9 dead militiamen and the 61 wounded militiamen. In the end, 14 regulators were captured, tried, and sentenced to death for treason. Only 6 of the 14 were actually hung before Tryon had the others pardoned. With most of the leaders of the rebellion either dead or fled, or they fled North Carolina, the crushing defeat at Alamance proved the defeat of the regulators' short-lived rebellion.
I kind of, like, think of them being like, we're not going to take it, like, you know, Twisted Sister, and then the actual, you know, guys in, like, their red coats just being like, well, yes, you are.
Yeah, well, the whole thing about that was because they had no actual leader, like, you know, none of the men really stepped up to the plate to be a leader. So unlike the militia, they weren't organized. And so it was really hard to, you know, lead a battle when there's no set leadership to lead you in. So
yeah, so that's, you know, why it failed miserably.
That's why it failed. There was no leadership. Not real leadership.
Now, this, of course, all ties into the Fiery Cross because Roger, who, being at the wrong place at the wrong time, ends up being arrested, tried for treason, and hung as a regulator. And although he survives the hanging, needless to say, it is a pretty heart-wrenching part of the novels, with Roger truly losing much of himself from the trauma, though thankfully he does recover later on. But the one thing that does not recover is his beautiful tenor voice. He loses that. It's like a croak now. It's quite sad.
Yeah, it's so sad. Yeah. Man, because that was so much a part of Roger, you know, that, you know, now he doesn't have that anymore, thanks to, you know, being mistaken for someone else.
Yep, exactly. Ugh.
It's actually really funny, though, because I didn't know anything about the Regulators' Rebellion until I started reading The Fiery Cross. So, I mean, shows how great the American education system is,
and
right?
And you live really close to it. Like, you're just in South Carolina.
I live in South Carolina, and it's not that far of a drive for me to get to, you know, Fraser's Ridge, quote-unquote. You know, it's like a 3-hour drive for me, which isn't that bad. I mean, I go up to Maggie Valley all the time. So it's ridiculous that I didn't know anything about this. And then when I actually researched it, it's a really big thing in North Carolina, but not necessarily something that, you know, South Carolinians really talk about. But I thought it was interesting. So.
Well, you guys have other things to talk about, right?
Yeah, we have the whole entire Hamilton cast almost was here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you're a Hamilton fan, like, Lauren's fought in South Carolina. I actually live in Georgetown, which is where the Marquis de Lafayette actually landed in the colonies. So that's pretty awesome.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yes, I'm Hamilton trash. It's all your fault.
Yeah, I'm Hamilton trash times two because I'm from a place called Hamilton, Ontario. And yeah, if you're from there, people from Toronto know what I'm talking about. But yeah, I'm Hamilton trash. Okay. So
yeah, I think it's really cool that Diana Gabaldon managed to find this little footnote in history and then make it part of her novels, so that's pretty cool, in my opinion.
Now, after the Regulators' Rebellion, it would just be a few short years before the American Revolution began, and both sides of the rebellion ended up working side by side to overthrow the English rule of the colonies. And in that, they were very much successful. So it's kind of, in a way, a happy ending. If you're American, but being Canadian here, it's very much a different story because, of course, all of your loyalists went up to Canada or back to England, and they ended up forming what is now known as Ontario, or they went to Nova Scotia, or I guess maybe they went to Quebec. I don't know, but... nevertheless, a big part of my country's history is thanks to the American Revolution, because they knew where to go.
So so that's just a little something that you maybe didn't know. So, you know.
Now, Gracie, where did you get your sources?
I actually got them from the North Carolina Encyclopedia and from LearnNorthCarolina.org. So if you want to actually learn more about North Carolina or the Regulators Movement, you can go to ncpedia.org or www.learnnc.org.
All right.
And if you want to actually get in touch with us, you can always email us at outlandersassenach@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook, facebook.com/outlandersassenach page. And you can look us up on Tumblr at outlandersassenach.tumblr.com. So that's pretty much it.
Did we get any comments or anything this week? Do you know?
Maybe? Oh, yes. Actually, we got plenty of people that really loved some of our older stuff. I ended up being in a new Facebook group, and they took really well to the podcast. So shout out. All my ladies, they know who I'm talking about. I'm sure they'll appreciate the shout out when they hear it.
Yeah. I accidentally turned on one of our old podcasts because I clicked something. Oops. So if you hear that in the background, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so we definitely like hearing from you guys. So if you have any positive or negative comments, we'll take them all in stride. So
exactly.
Guess we will guys next week.
Yep, we will. See you guys later. Bye.
Bye.